Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Happy Saturday to you. Happy Father's Day tomorrow. A subject on the minds of many men, especially after the age of 50. What happened to those erections you used to have in your teenage years? Today we're going to do the show on erectile dysfunction, not something men like to share with each other or with doctors or with anybody, in fact, except they're thinking about it a lot after the age of 50. I can guarantee you that from what I hear in my office. So let's get into it. If you can get to the website, if you're new to the show, straighttalk.cc, that's not .com, .cc with two T's. As always, my regular audience, you're already on the website. And we're going to teach by pictures, except if you can't get on the computer, simply listen, use your imagination. I'll try to describe things so you can understand them even without the picture. Herbs, do they work? The quick fix. Viagra. What about Viagra? Lots of men over the age of 50 use Viagra. Try Viagra. If you've noticed, when you look at the container for Viagra or you look at the ads for Viagra, you have 1 to 2 pages of side effects listed. Now, because of the legal system, because of the laws, every pharmaceutical has to have side effects. But here's an inside line. The side effects regarding the usage of Viagra and a few of the other ones are very real. They're vasodilators. Viagra, and I'm going to show you today one of the things that it does or how it functions, it's going to vasodilate. That vasodilation can go on everywhere. So anybody with even the slightest tendency towards cardiovascular issues, but this encompasses, because it's a potent vasodilator, dozens of other scenarios that can run you into a very, very bad place. Viagra has real side effects, and lots of people get into trouble using it. There's something called priapism, where you get an erection, and the erection won't go away. And the sequela to that sometimes is terrible. Now, it's not uncommon. It's not rare. And I heard this from a nurse in Orange County who's been a nurse in ER for over 25 years, that about once every month someone comes in and they have to have part of their penis amputated because of priapism. So using Viagra can be very, very dangerous. And if you use your common sense, well, if any prospective drug that you're going to take has 2 pages of side effects, I mean, it's laughable at this point with some of the drugs that you see advertised on television, et cetera, where for at least 15 or 20 seconds, they're going through the side effects of the drug. Believe me, it's not just the laws making them do that. It's that there are very real side effects. So before you go to something Viagra, like Viagra, Cialis, et cetera, try to go about it naturally. Now, what does that mean? As always, the point to my show is, it doesn't necessarily mean that you would jump onto the herbal bandwagon, as if the herbs that we produce, that we harvest, that we take, and that we claim are going to substitute for something like Viagra are actually going to work. I think that's overly optimistic. I'm going to talk about the herbal solutions later, about how to approach it herbally. But this idea that, well, I can't take the Viagra, I'm into the natural thing, so I'm just going to jump on the herbal bandwagon and watch the miracle occur, it doesn't work for the most part. And if you know my show, the point's going to be there are fundamentals to the health of the erection, to being able to maintain the erection, to not prematurely ejaculate, to produce enough sperm in the ejaculation, to produce enough testosterone. You're going to see over the next 60 minutes, this is a complex web of variables that hones down to a set of specific concerns for you. So one guy's concerns and his erectile dysfunction are not yours, and vice versa. So you got to get your profile. And so you got to get your education. And as you know, this show is dedicated to your education. So let's begin. Enough said about Viagra. Just take a look at picture number 4. How Viagra works. You know, the pharmaceutical companies, when they want to sell a drug, give fantastic summaries of how their drugs work. So just take a look here. Sexual arousal still required. This is picture number 4 on straighttalk.cc. Just go to the K-Bright shows. Sexual arousal still required for Viagra to work. So once around, Viagra works by inhibiting enzyme PDE-5. Now, listen to that. Sexual arousal is still required for Viagra to work. That's a whole phase regarding your ability to get an erection. You have to be aroused. Now, that may seem like common sense, but it's counterintuitive when a guy starts to get depressed about his age, about the fact that some of his dreams didn't come true, about a divorce, about all sorts of things that later on down the line tip the scale. We're going to get into that later, but point one, it's telling you, even in the pharmaceutical ad here, that you've got to get stimulated first for Viagra to work. It's not a cure-all. It increases the level of something called GCMP, blah, 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 down on the bottom there, okay? The level of this, thus the level of CGMP is increased, allowing extra blood flow to the penis. Now, there it is. In a nutshell, Viagra is going to vasodilate you to get more blood down there. Now, there's an interesting thing about the penis. If you don't get enough blood to it, the valves in the venous system, the drainage system, don't lock. So when a guy gets half an erection because he doesn't get enough blood down there for a bunch of reasons, one of which is the nitrous oxide, et cetera, but when he doesn't get enough blood down there, the veins can't lock out the blood that's there. So if you talk to guys that get a very hard erection, you have to understand that once you get all that blood down there, that blood gets trapped because the veins have valves and those valves shut. So you got to get enough blood in there to lock the blood in. A lot of guys would settle for half an erection or three quarters of an erection, but the first thing that happens when they're getting half the erection or three quarters of the erection is they can't sustain it because the venous system, the valves in it, don't lock out. Now, whose valves don't work? That's not really the issue. Once you get the blood there, the valves work. I mean, there are exceptions to this. But by and large, once the valves are there, you're going to lock down and you're going to maintain. So it really is all about the blood flow. Now, if it's about the blood flow, we have to understand something. A couple of concepts here. Let's go on down to picture number 13. Get down to picture number 13. If you can't look at the computer, what you're looking at in picture 13 are all the artery supply, the arterial supply into the penis. And into that penis, well, now you've got to go to picture number 8. Into that penis, all that blood fills up this spongy part of the penis called the corpus cavernosum. There is something called the corpus cavernosum. If you're looking at the pictures, that's picture number 8. And that's a big sponge. And you see that little deep artery? That artery vasodilates into the spongy part of the penis, the corpus cavernosum. And all that blood expands out the size, the width, the length of the penis. Now, that's what you want to happen optimally. The question is, do you vasodilate? And then the question is, do you get the blood supply? Now, the arteries to the penis can plaque. They plaque just like every other artery. So if you go to picture 14, they're showing you a nice rendition of one of the major arteries, the iliac artery, external and internal iliac arteries, coming off the abdominal aorta. These are peripheral arterial supplies. You don't have to rush to emergency with a clot of fatty plaque and blood in these arteries and gangrene setting in to suffer from it. I want you to get this concept. I want you to understand that when those arteries to the penis vasodilate, the amount of blood that's available to them is a function of the complete and total volume that gets down there once the heart pumps. And if you have a little plaque here, like in the coronaries, and then a little bit of plaque in the aorta, and a little bit of plaque in the iliac, and a little bit plaque here, and then a little bit of plaque there, and then down as you get closer to the penis, a little bit of plaque, the total systemic effect of the blockage can be massive. That's not what they tell you. When they talk about circulatory issues, thus the grave need to vasodilate blood flow to the penis, they're talking about picture 13, all those little arteries to the penis, or they're talking about the extreme end of the iliac arteries. But you have to understand that your entire circulatory system and its patency is what delivers the total amount of blood down into the penis. There's no end to the significance of this. This is a major diagnostic problem. We think in terms of the erection as the function of the peripheral blood to the penis. We have to look at the amount of total circulation and how much you're losing because you're plaqued systemically. So a guy that's got, say, 20% of the ascending aorta plaqued is losing a lot of blood to the penis. No, it's not compensated. It adds up. So who's that? Well, how would you know that? Well, that's when you have to get into testing, and unless you have an acute problem, nobody's going to test. And this is the thing about plaque. As we get older, arteries plaque, not just the arteries to the penis, but arteries systemically. So that in any given moment, per contraction of the heart, there's less volume of blood circulating everywhere. That's not a little thing, that's a big thing. And so when we localize down into the arteries to the penis and we sonogram them, we look for big clots and plugs to the penis itself and the near vicinity of it. We don't find anything, or we find a little bit of blockage. We say, can't be this problem. It can't be a vascular problem to the penis, because we're not seeing any large, significant, alarming clot. This is where mistakes are made all the time. So when I talk about fundamentals meaning before you trust fully that the herb is going to produce the miracle, before you do that, you have to think in terms of, okay, I'm 50, I'm 55, I'm 60, maybe I have a new relationship. Maybe, in fact, you and your significant other, your wife, your whoever, over the years are getting to this point now where things aren't working as well and you want to do something about it. Most people go straight to the Viagra. You've got a percentage of people then who will try the herb, and that herb is a Hail Mary prayer, because once these other fundamentals, and I'll get into more, cross a certain threshold, those herbs really don't give you the return. And then you feel like, well, it said that the deer antler would do this, and it said the ginseng would do that, and it said the cordyceps would do this, and it said the maca would do that, and it said the horny goat weed would do this, and it said the cordyceps and this and that. And you start to feel like, no, they didn't deliver, and it must all be a lot of bunko. The herbs have to be working in the terrain that allows you to receive them. You have to be able to receive the herb. You have to do your part for the herb to work. This is always overlooked. So, circulation. What about circulation?